reviewing the whole 6010.
Welcome into the week 4 CSS DFS podcast. I am your host, Daniel Dopp. To my left, Michael Clay. Michael, you are sporting a beautiful Chad Pennington jersey right now.
Thanks. It's actually autographed on the back.
Is it? Seriously?
It is. You know what's funny? I was looking for a good stitched Pennington jersey back in my heyday as a fan, but I was still in the NFL. And I was searching and I could not find one on the internet. And I found one. I found this autographed at a reasonable price at Walmart.
What?
Walmart's website. Not even joking. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
This from beautiful. And it's perfect condition. Apparently signed by Chad Pennington. But anyway, I'm a big Chad fan, and of course the Jets. We're recording this Thursday morning. The Jets play tonight. So supporting the cause here.
Okay. Al Zeidenfeld, you're wearing a t-shirt and you look sort of like you rolled out of bed or whatever. Thanks for joining us.
You know, it's early in the morning. I got my fuzzy slippers on. I'm just here talking about DFS. May or may not be wearing pants.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. I was not here for the last 2 days on the podcast. Took a couple of mental health days, just some time away to kind of
clear
your head and stuff. You know what I mean? A lot going on in the world right now. So I just want to say to all of you, if you have been thinking about it, if you're like, you know what? Things feel a little bit heavy. There's nothing wrong with taking a day and just trying to clear your mind and get in a good headspace. So
No doubt.
Actively encourage everybody to try to make sure that you are as mentally healthy as possible. And we're going to get you as financially healthy as possible by giving you some great week 4 DFS advice. Let's quickly recap week 3, where I demolished Mike Clay.
The streak is over.
The first non-asterisk loss win of the season for me. I had 136.2 points last week. Mike had 120.6. Mm.
That hurts.
Last week was a tough week. There were a lot of things we expected to happen. Didn't happen.
I hated it. As I told you guys on our text thread Sunday, two of the guys, you know, we had a lot of like punts and value plays, and we talked about KJ Hamler in the show last week. Went through a bunch of them. There were two guys on my list, Dontrell Inman, who I was like, ew, David, like I don't want to use him.
Yep.
And he had two touchdowns, and that was a Schitt's Creek reference, by the way, for those people listening. You watch that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I couldn't use him, and the guy I loved. And he obviously had a lot of value because James White was out with Rex Burkhead, and I had him in one lineup.
Ugh.
So it's just one of them weeks where, you know, sometimes you just don't have as much exposure to a guy that you would like. So disappointing week for sure, but we're going to get back on track this week.
Yeah, this week for sure, definitely. Athoma 21 won our DFS showdown last week, 206.1 points in our Fantasy Focus League. Congratulations. Absolutely crushed it. Please make sure to join our weekly contest. Unlimited participants, free to enter. Mm-hmm. $200 in weekly prizes. Here's the thing, guys. We do not go out and tweet out a link to it on Twitter because we want to save this for people that actually listen to the podcast, not just randoms that can come in and join the league without being able to listen and be a part of the community. So,
and we'll put the link on social so you guys could find it, but we're not going to tell people that
exactly.
It's free to enter. And there's money if you do well. That we keep that secret. That's just for the listeners.
Yep. So definitely check that out this week. I am down 1-2 to Mike Clay, but boy, oh boy, we're going to get on it this week. And Mike, I just want to start right off with the quarterback because it's a quarterback that I am excited about here this week. Ryan Fitzpatrick, $5,400, taking on the Seattle moneymakers when it comes to quarterbacks who play against them.
Right. I can't believe this price on Fitzpatrick because DraftKings, we know, make some tweaks, right, for schedule. Yeah. So they do, but there's 26 quarterbacks in the slate, really 24 now. I guess we should point that out, right? So you'll see it if you go in to set your lineup. Obviously, Pittsburgh and Tennessee have been postponed. That game is not included this week in any slates now. It's, of course, been moved to later in the season. So make sure you stay away from all of those players. And if you set a lineup early in the week, make sure you adjust for that. But of 24 quarterbacks in the slate, Fitzpatrick, fourth cheapest. I can't believe it. He is 14th in fantasy points already this season. He has back-to-back top 10 weeks against the Bills, was one of them. It's a good defense. And Jacksonville as well. And you mentioned it, the Seahawks against quarterbacks this season. Most attempts faced, most completions allowed, most passing yards allowed, second most fantasy points allowed. They allowed 50, this is worth just quickly going through, against the Falcons, 54 pass attempts against 450 yards, 2 touchdowns, 24 fantasy points. Against New England, 44 attempts, 397 yards, 47 rushing yards, 3 total touchdowns, and 35 fantasy points. So it's 44 pass attempts by Cam Newton, who runs the ball a lot too. And then last week, Dallas, 57 attempts, 472 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 27 fantasy points. It's ridiculous. And he's super cheap at 5,400. It just seems like a shoe-in that you should be working him into your lineups this week.
Okay. If you decided to pivot away from that, because I imagine there's probably going to be a lot of people on Fitzy this week, Al, give me another quarterback that we maybe want to look at if we want to pivot away from that game.
Well, I mean, when I look at Cam Newton, it's kind of, it's going to be the story of the best of times and the worst of times, right? Sure. It's the tale of quarterbacks. So when he's playing at home or is favored, they're going to play extremely slow, are the New England Patriots. They're going to try and run the ball a lot, 30, 40 plus runs, including the 10 or so that Cam's going to get himself. When they're chasing, like they did in Seattle, playing on the road, not favored, not playing from ahead, great game script for a fantasy quarterback. He has to throw it a lot more times, 44 attempts against Seattle. I think that we're going to see something closer to that here against the Chiefs. And it's going to come at a lower percentage in tournaments because everybody saw the Island game and what they did to Lamar. I personally think that Lamar could have had a really nice game that game. I think he just personally was a little bit off. He missed a couple of deep shots to Brown. He had touchdowns dropped by Andrews. He could have had a very viable Lamar Jackson game. And I think that that's persuading people to say, well, Kansas City's figured it out and Cam Newton is, you know, similar to Lamar in style of play. I think this is a situation where he throws it 35 times. I think he can get into the box on the ground, maybe one, maybe two through the air. This is a great spot to get in on Cam Newton. And his price has come down to 6,400. As Mike said, matchup oriented here. His price should be down when they're at home and favored and up when they're going to have to chase and throw more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. I got to be honest, I was looking at who to talk about at quarterback, and those are the two quarterbacks that I wanted to talk about. So I'm just going to echo what both of you guys said. I will say this, though, about Fitzpatrick. He's had multiple touchdowns in each of his games this year, in all of his games this year, and the Seahawks have given up multiple touchdowns, as Mike just pointed out to us. So Listen, get at least one lineup with a Fitzy stack in it, and then find another lineup to do some other things, but like at least find one with Fitzpatrick, because there are so many things that you can fit into a lineup with that cheap quarterback. Mike, a couple of the guys that you like here this week, both Deshaun Watson and Josh Allen. Talk to me about both those guys.
Yeah, I think, remember, the Texans have had a ridiculous schedule.
It's so hard.
The first three games have been terrible.
Yep.
This week was struggled. Traveling across the country to LV, but obviously he's been tremendous and the price point isn't too bad. And then Daniel Jones playing at the Rams again, tough traveling, but his price has plummeted so much. We know he adds value with his legs as well. So I think Jones is an interesting punt option, but you know what? I've been throwing once a week, a giant stack together and that has not gone well for me. So I don't know how good I feel about that here, about what quadrupling down here in week four.
On Giants, here's the deal. The whole point of this show is we're trying to find value, right? Mm-hmm. There's no better way to find value than waking up with Wendy's breakfast, Mike Clay.
When are you going to bring me Wendy's breakfast to
when
the show?
When you...
It is the morning.
I won this week. You should have brought me Wendy's breakfast.
Yeah, well, I've won the last 15 times and you didn't bring me breakfast.
Wow. If you haven't tried it yet, Mike, Wendy's breakfast menu is definitely something you don't want to sleep on. Pick from fan faves like our breakfast Baconator, the Honey Butter Chicken Biscuit. Oh my gosh, it is so unbelievably good. And Frosty Chino. Or mix and match to make your own breakfast dream team. How about that for a morning win? Wendy's breakfast. Spread the word at participating U.S. Wendy's.
How about more value? That sounds like a great value. I got more value for you. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies?
Wow.
That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more.
All right, let's talk about some running backs. And Al, I want to start with you because you've got two running backs here you're going to talk about. I hope you're going to talk about both of them. And Zeke and Alvin Kamara, the top two guys on the board this week. I want you to break down both of them for me here real quick.
Okay, so first of all, Kenyon Drake is still too cheap. I understand that people are disappointed and he incites some sort of a bile type reaction when you bring his name up here in week four. But like, this is who we want to attack every single week is the Carolina Panthers. They've allowed the second most yards per carry after first contact to opposing running backs. They've allowed 9 more running back rush touchdowns than any other team this season. They're just a fantasy carnival that we want to be a part of every single week. I've played running backs against them every week. I'm going to keep doing it. And they're easy to bring back in stacks. But also, Ezekiel Elliott should be 9,500 mm-hmm. for the fourth straight week, and he's 7,800. So he's a massive value as well. Gameflow independent running back, somebody that we're not going to have to worry about. Are they playing from ahead or behind? There was a lot of consternation before the season. If the Cowboys get behind in games, Tony Pollard's going to come in and Zeke's not going to play. Well, that didn't happen. He had 12 targets last week.
Yeah.
Granted, some bounced off his face mask, but it is what it is.
Wasn't great.
20-plus touches, playing at home, favored. He checks off all five boxes that I like at running back, so get in there and get Zeke in your lineups.
I said I meant Kenyon Drake. I just saw the K to start the name. Spoiler alert, I'm going to talk about a running back that has a K to start their name for one of mine.
You're so excited about him.
I'm sort of excited about it. What are you going to say? Mike, Clyde Edwards-Helaire taking on the New England Patriots.
And by the way, before I get into that, I agree with Zeke. I almost talked about him. I went Edwards-Helaire because I have a lot I want to talk about with him, but 100% agree. It's almost like DraftKings is inviting us to spend up on running backs right now, and really don't have to spend as much as we could, right? They want us to use these guys, and that's a little foreshadowing for our lineups. I just peeked at yours as well, Daniel, so we'll talk about that more in a little bit. But lots of running back value. And again, one of those is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, $6,400 against New England. He's 11th highest priced running back, and he's 12th in fantasy points this year, so maybe that makes some sense. It doesn't make sense. If you look a little closer at his usage, 66% of the snaps he has played so far this season. He's handled 71% of the design runs and 14% of the targets in the best offense in the NFL. He is, and I don't think people realize this one, fourth at running back in carries this season and in targets. Fourth in both of those categories at the running back position. He only has one touchdown. His expected total is much higher than that, closer to four. A lot of that was from all them goal line carries week one. But nonetheless, the touchdowns will come. Keep in mind, the Chiefs have scored on 82%. 82% of their touchdowns have been passes so far. Their expected total based on our play calling is 59%. That total will come down closer to where it's been the past couple of seasons. Also, it might seem like a tough matchup against New England. It really shouldn't be. In fact, Chiefs running backs have been really good against the Patriots in their past four meetings. 674 scrimmage yards and 8 touchdowns in 4 games against the Patriots. That's Damian Williams. Kareem Hunt was a part of that as well. I think LeSean McCoy got a few touches there as well.
Larry Johnson.
And just for perspective. Holmes. No,
not that far back.
Only 4
That's
games.
Too far back. Okay, sorry.
New England, against New England, the Chiefs receivers and tight ends also combined for 8 touchdowns. So the running backs had 8. All the other players, think Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, all those guys had 8 total touchdowns. So Patriots mid-pack against running backs so far, but the Seahawks and Raiders running backs both reached 145 scrimmage yards against them. I love Edwards-Helaire's volume. His volume going forward. I love the matchup a little bit here. So
yeah, and we talked about him a little bit on the season-long show today about his OTD and how he's actually a little bit underachieving based on, you know, the work usage that he's gotten. So
yeah, good. And by the way, in season-long, good player to trade for, I think, right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, he could be the top-scoring fantasy running back going forward based on his usage very easily.
Man. All right, we're going to talk about another running back here, Alvin Kamara. Speaking about the top player, does anybody look better than Alvin Kamara right now in the NFL?
Absolutely not. I mean, the numbers are great. The volume's great. And on tape, he looks ridiculous.
He looks incredible. Ridiculous. Watching the workouts that he does where he stands on top of that like weird medicine ball and then has to catch the little triangle thing with like the right color. Mm-hmm. And it's like the hand-eye coordination. Unreal. Unreal watching him out of there on the field, seeing what he does. Mm-hmm. He's second in the NFL in receptions, tied for fourth in receiving touchdowns, fifth in receiving yards. He's a wide receiver one, absolutely, that is getting over 10 carries a game. And I cannot fathom not playing him against the Detroit Lions, who I have watched every single week. They do not defend well against pass catching running backs. Mm-hmm. They did a little bit better last week. They played a little bit more three safety rather than, you know, leaving Jared Davis and some of their linebackers out there. But Alvin Kamara, even though he's definitely more money, I feel like there's a ton of value here, and he's still absolutely worth a look here in week 4.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think a few other names. In addition to Kamara, Zeke is on my list, as mentioned, and Al covered him very well. You mentioned Kamara, like him. Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs gets the Bills, Dalvin Cook against Houston. And honestly, again, I just listed off like a whole bunch of the top running backs, but that's all we've pretty much talked about because they're still values for some reason. But Miles Gaskin, if you want to save a few bucks against Seattle's on the list as well.
Let me ask you really quickly, and Al, you can jump in here too if you'd like. With the news on Leonard Fournette, is the, you know, Rojo is quite a bit less expensive, I believe, in the 47, high 4,000s, low 5,000s. Do you think there's value there for Ronald Jones this week based on the workload that he's going to get if Leonard Fournette does not play?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't adjusted the projections in the sheet yet, so I will get back to you
later.
But I would say I'll be shocked if he's not either a good or great value once I tweak for that.
Yeah. Al?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many values this week at running back. All the guys that Mike mentioned, you just brought up Rojo. Henderson Jr. for the Rams. Mm-hmm. Again, home favored running backs that project to get 20 touches inside the five carries and inclusion in the passing game. They're literally everywhere, and they're all less than 7,800 on the slate. 8,000 if you include Kamara.
It's amazing. All right. Let's talk about some wide receivers here, gentlemen. Mike, you've got a pair of Panthers pass catchers you like going up against Arizona, both DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson, only $200 cheaper than DJ Moore. I'm not sure what's more, like, I'm surprised about at this point of the year that DJ Moore is only $5,600 or that Robbie Anderson is still only $5,400.
I know. It's unbelievable. In fact, there was at one point this week, now my optimal lineup, if you will, is always adjusting, and I mess around with like high ceiling variants and stuff like that. But there was one point where when I ran it, it popped out a lineup with Mike Davis, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, and Curtis Samuel. All of them fit into this lineup. Now, you don't want to set a lineup like that. It's going to be hard to win that way, barring a ridiculous performance by Carolina. But it just tells you that there's a lot of value in this offense right now. And again, I want to talk about Moore and Anderson here. Moore only 5,600. He's the 25th highest priced wide receiver. Anderson is 29th at 5,400. They're playing Arizona. Let's talk about the Panthers offense first. They put 30 points on Las Vegas in week one.
Yep.
Then they were held to 3 total offensive touchdowns against 2 of the better defenses in the NFL, the Bucs and the Chargers. So I think there's
also 1/3 of their offensive touchdowns have been passes.
So that should be close to 55% based on their play calling. So more of their touchdowns should be passes going forward. That's good news for these wide receivers. DJ Moore, 10th in targets this season, 14th in yards, but 0 touchdowns so far. Robbie Anderson, 12th in targets, 7th in catches, 5th in yards, 8th in fantasy points. I mean, the usage has been there. The target share is great. Usage is great. I think the numbers will come going forward. By the way, you might look at the Panthers or the Cardinals defense as a tough one. They've allowed the second fewest fantasy points to receivers, but keep in mind, they shut down the 49ers week one. Obviously, they didn't have Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk in that game. They struggled against Washington in week two, and they did okay against Detroit in week three. And Buda Baker's out. He's one of the better defensive backs in the NFL. He's going to miss this game. So I think it sets up well for this passing game to get going.
Yeah. I like both of those guys this week. Al, I'm excited to talk about your wide receivers because we're two totally different ends of the spectrum. I'm just going to hand it over to you. Michael Thomas and Damir Bird. Let's hear how you make these two fit into a segment.
Okay, well, one, all apologies to your Detroit Lions here, but since the beginning of last season, players that have seen 10 targets a game against Detroit are averaging 20.1 DraftKings points per game. Wow. 4 of those players hit the 100-yard bonus. Another 4 of those players caught a touchdown pass. Detroit has allowed 12 red zone completions so far this year, tied for third most in the league. And that fits well with Michael Thomas's role in this Saints offense when he's healthy. Last year, averaging 30.59% of the red zone targets from Drew Brees and Bridgewater last year. He is a beast no matter who's at quarterback. And if they throw it over 20 yards in the air or not. So it fits his game. He's a low A-dot sort of guy. So this new Brees works for him. As long as he's healthy, 7,400 is entirely too cheap. He's an 85+$100 player on DraftKings every single week. The other end of the spectrum, at the stone minimum, is Damir Bird. I talked about Cam Newton. I think that they're going to throw it more times. In games where there's going to be more attempts, there's more targets to go around. It's between Bird or Harry, whichever one you like more. To me, Bird running more routes per game than Harry is, and in a situation where I think they're going to throw the ball a lot more times. The floor should be elevated to the point where it's like 5 or 6 points, so there's not much that's going to kill you in a cash game if you play him to open up a lot more spots on your roster, a lot more salary on your roster, but he does have the upside if he gets himself into the box.
And I would really quickly, just in case you didn't listen to last week, you talked a little bit about how if you're going to spend $3,000 on a player, that stone minimum, while you're punting, even if they don't reach that threshold of what your expectation is, like that's not necessarily a bad thing. Can you kind of just go over that strategy for us one more time?
Right. So I would like to get, theoretically, 150 points in cash games, because most weeks, obviously there's going to be a higher floor some weeks and a lower floor other weeks. If you get 150 on DraftKings in your head-to-heads 50-50s, typically you're going to be in the money that week. You're going to make a profit. So if you're spending $3,000 on somebody, that generally means you want somewhere around 8 to 12 fantasy points from them. But if they score 5.5 or 6, no, they didn't smash. You didn't reach or exceed value, but they missed by like 2 or 2.5 points. It's way different than if you spend for, say, Michael Thomas, and he puts up a 5-point game. And now you spend all that salary and you missed value by 15, 20 points. Much more damage is done to your bottom line when you miss on a higher price player than somebody who's basically at the minimum or around it. So you have the upside of possibly getting 5 times their salary or 6 times or 8 times their salary if they happen to catch a long touchdown, which is in Damir Bird or last week KJ Hamler's locker. So you have a good enough floor with a possibility of a ceiling, and it opens up so much for you with those other high-volume guys everywhere else on your roster.
Absolutely. Absolutely love that. Mm-hmm. Guy that I really like this week, DeVante Parker taking on Seattle. All the stuff that Mike said, talking about the passing game, understanding if we think that Fitz is going to throw a ton, someone there has to catch it. I was hoping Preston Williams would come on a little bit more this year than he has. We've all been a little bit disappointed with that. But DeVante Parker, I'll tell you what, I want to look at this correlation here, right? Kyle gave me this note. It's fantastic. Correlation in the stacks. Fitzpatrick has scored 20-plus points 9 times since the beginning of last season, and in those 9 games, DeVante Parker has averaged 20.7 DraftKings points. So that's absolutely, if I'm looking at a stack, if I'm looking high upside, looking at how many points that can be scored, I love that. And it's a pretty inexpensive stack, all things considered, when you look at where they're at. So, Mike, there's a whole bunch of other wide receivers here. I'm just going to give you the mic and let you run rapid fire through a couple of these with a nugget or two on each of them.
Yeah, and I'm with you on Parker, by the way, and Preston Williams too. Remember, they played Buffalo and New England.
Yeah,
and then Preston Williams scored against Jacksonville, and then Parker did fine. So
if you can't find a way to make Parker fit in with everything else in your roster construction, and you want to spend $1,200 less on Preston Williams. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's as, it's not a bad decision. I'm a little bit more optimistic about DeVante Parker, but still
Agreed.
Totally worth it with Preston Williams.
Yeah, Parker looks good for sure. But a few other great plays that are shown up as tremendous values for us. First one is Gabriel Davis. So yeah. This assumes John Brown is out. If he surprisingly plays, cross Davis off, but I'd love him as a punt this week against the Raiders, who are down another corner. They're having a hard time at that spot. Pass offense has been pretty good, so Tyler Lockett still pretty good value. N'Keal Harry and Julian Edelman, add them to Damir Bird, so Patriots wide receivers we like a lot. Michael Thomas at Detroit, as Al laid out. DeVante Parker against Seattle, as you laid out. Keenan Allen at Tampa Bay. And Hunter Renfro
yes.
against Buffalo. The top two receivers are out for the Raiders. Renfro looked great last week with the 9 targets, and he's... If you trace back to the second half of last season, he has 12-plus fantasy points in 5 of his final 7 games last year, and then we saw it last week. So Renfro, very intriguing as well.
Can I throw in a correlated stat to Daniel, to your correlated stat?
Oh, yeah. Correlate my also correlation, please. Yeah.
Double correlation here. In Fitzmagic's top 7 career games, their opponent has scored an average of 31.7 points per game in real life. Vegas has Seattle penciled in at a implied team total of 30.5. So they're expecting them to score somewhere around that total. Not saying that Fitzmagic is going to have one of his top 7 career games, but every other time he has.
Don't get my hopes up, Al. Why would you say that if you're not trying to get my hopes up?
Sounds like a good game to use a primary and secondary stack.
Ooh.
Am I right? Or am I right?
Yeah.
All right, listen, guys. After a long summer, the wait is officially over. College football is back, and so is an all-new season of your favorite Dr. Pepper-obsessed college football town. That's right, we're talking about Fansville. So brace yourself for all the on-the-field football drama and off-the-field Dr. Pepper flavor your eyes and taste buds can handle. Because even though you can't be at the stadium, you can still dress, cheer, and drink Dr. Pepper like a true fan. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. All right, Mike Clay, I finally am friends with you again.
I thought this is where you were going when you were like, the wait is finally over. I didn't know you were reading an ad. I thought you were going to go right into this. So go ahead.
We are finally buddies again as we get to the tight end segment, where you have TJ Hockenson finally putting some respect on his name $4,800 taking on the New Orleans Saints. What do you like about TJ this
week? The end of the analysis.
That's it?
Playing the Saints, right? That's been the place to go this season. Hockenson, $4,800 against the Saints. Again, I think he's priced tight end eight. You know, I was hoping for a little bit of a better value knowing he was facing the Saints this week, but it's still pretty solid. He's ninth fantasy points this season, seventh at tight end in catches and receiving yards. He also has two end zone targets. Certainly like to see that. He is playing more than last season. Snaps, routes, targets, air yards, all up from last season. And we also saw him. I thought this was important. He handled seven targets last week. Why is that notable? Kenny Golladay was back. He saw seven targets in that game. But here's the key. The Saints defense has been atrocious against tight ends so far. They've allowed a touchdown in every game against the Las Vegas Raiders a couple weeks ago. Remember the big Darren Waller game, 14 catches, 139 yards, one touchdown, and 34 fantasy points. And then again last week, nine catches, 104 yards, and two touchdowns, as totaled 31 fantasy points in that game. So that was, of course, the Packers, who don't really have a standout tight end. Robert Tonyan was beating them up. So it's been a rough go for them so far. And Hockenson's been a big part of the Lions offense. So he's set up. And by the way, if the Saints play well and score points, the Lions will have to keep up and keep throwing the football. It sets up well for Hockenson.
That's the plan. Unless they decide to use 48-year-old Adrian Peterson 20-plus times on the ground again. But don't get me started.
Anyway.
Don't get me started on that. Al, let's talk about Dalton Schultz. $4,300 taking on the Cleveland Browns, as if the Cowboys don't have enough pass catchers to worry about. Now we got to think about Dalton Schultz this week, too?
Yeah, look, I was quite the sad panda when Blake Jarwin went down. I'm pretty exposed to him in season long, but Dalton Schultz has been a revelation with 13 catches over the past 2 weeks. You mentioned how the Saints have been the worst team so far in DVP, defense versus position, against opposing tight ends. Cleveland is fourth worst in the league. They've allowed 15.63 DraftKings points per game to opposing tight ends. This is where we want to kind of attack. We want to attack these defenses that can't defend the position with guys that are getting solid volume. He's the only Cowboy in the last 2 weeks that has multiple red zone targets. So when they get in close, Dak looks his way.
Okay. I'm going to look at a tight end that I just, you know, I want to feel good about it. I want to trust the process here, Mike. Jimmy Graham taking on the Colts. Especially with Nick Foles under center, it really looked like he looked Jimmy Graham's way. I'm hoping that is not just last week. When you look at Graham, he leads the league with seven red zone targets. Four of them came last week. Three of those are from Nick Foles. He leads all tight ends in your OTD metric.
Right.
And Indy's allowed the fourth most red zone completions. They did it last season. And no offense to this year, but this year they've played the Jags, the Vikings, and the Jets. So they haven't really come up against a powerhouse of an offense to be able to change anything there. So Jimmy Graham is a little bit less expensive. I like him here. Again, if you're going to be spending up at running back and those big names that we like, another tight end that you can consider that's a little bit cheaper here. But we got a couple other names, Mike, that you like here at tight end. Evan Engram and Hunter Henry, both.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I have Darren Waller on this list. By the way, he's only $400 more than TJ Hockenson, right? Which seems like a small gap, but he's playing Buffalo. Makes me a little bit nervous, too. That's why I kind of lean that way. But he just still come in as a great play at this value. You mentioned Jimmy Graham. Evan Engram against the Rams, sixth at tight end in targets this season. I mean, the volume's been there. He just needs to get going. And Hunter Henry at Tampa Bay.
Okay. We've reached the point of the show where, Michael, you can give us your week four DFS fantasy focus free roll lineup.
All right, let's roll. Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. That was my guy. I told you got to work him in here. Running back. Now, this is what we were talking about earlier, right? There's just, you can load up, including your flex, with three really good running backs and put together a good lineup.
Yep.
So I honestly can't believe I was able to do this, but having Fitz at quarterback saved me a lot. Alvin Kamara, Zeke Elliott, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That might be the best three running back plays you can use. All three fit into this lineup. And guess what else?
Your wide receivers have to suck then.
Yeah. Michael Thomas.
What? He's basically a running back that just catches passes. I mean, his scoring. I mean, his usage. I mean, he just gets a lot of touches.
DJ Moore.
Oh, my gosh.
Also very good. Gabriel Davis, who's my punt, who I talked about before. Like him a lot. Jimmy Graham, a tight end, who he just laid out. He's been tremendous in usage near the goal line. And the Lions defense as well. So,
man,
you know, they're playing the Saints, who haven't been as dominant as we expected, but a punt there at 2,200. They all fit. I can't believe I got three superstar running backs and more in Thomas into this lineup with Fitz in his great match. I mean, you can put that together. That's I can't be much happier with a cash game lineup than that.
I don't disagree with you at all. I really like your lineup in part because after I put my lineup together, I always look at your and Al's lineup to see how it interacts. And we had very similar lineups this week, so I'm going to run through mine. Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback, Alvin Kamara and Ezekiel Elliott at running back. I actually have Kenyon Drake in the flex rather than CEH. That allows me to spend up on Tyler Lockett, right? Mm-hmm. I've got Devontae Parker for my stack with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Tyler Lockett as the stack there on the other side. Damir Bird, only $3,000. Al talked about him. TJ Hockenson, I'm pairing him with Alvin Kamara in that Saints game. And then I've got the Browns defense, only $2,200. Had a little bit, I had $300 left over, but I couldn't find a way to be able to spend that $300 and feel comfortable. So I feel like both of those lineups have a ton of possibilities there. Al, I know you're going to give us your weekly tournament lineup, but just if you had to pick one, if you just had to pick a lineup between Mike and I, like which one would you prefer?
You're asking me to choose between my two sons right now, so this is very difficult. I'm gonna look again in that aspect as a father. I have to pick Dobbs because I think that it's very mean that Mike picked the Lions defense just so that if the Lions defense does score a touchdown here against a lineup with Kamara and Thomas, you're going to drive a stake through Daniel's heart. So Mike, just for being so mean,
thank you.
I'm going to pick Daniel.
I appreciate that.
I think Mike's lineup should score more points.
That's fair. That's totally fair. All right.
I like that at the end there. That'll work. Stick with that part.
Al, give us your weekly tournament lineup.
All right, so we're looking for correlation here, and we're looking to get guys that are going to have some lower exposure in tournaments coming at a lower percentage. So I'm going to go with Russ Wilson. I'm going to stack him with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett because they're both lovely. We're going to bring it back with Mike Gesicki. I'm going with a secondary stack. Where is my secondary stack in this line? It's David Johnson at running back. It's David Johnson at running back. Then I've got Mike Davis, who's caught a ton of passes. And we're going to go with the secondary stack of Damir Bird, saving us a ton of money, like we said, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the flex. So we've got a primary, a secondary, some good values at running back that I don't think are going to have high percentages in tournaments. I'm going to go with the Texans defense playing at home and favored against Minnesota, hoping that Watt can get some pressure and sack.
So you actually have two secondary stacks here, right? Because you have Texans D with David Johnson, and then you also have the Edwards-Helaire with Bird. So a lot of, you know, if those
very
three
highly
games
correlated
pan out,
lineup.
You need three games to pan out the way you want them, and you'll be sitting pretty.
Okay. Mike, if we were to decide that we needed to find a way to get through this Thursday night football game with some semblance of sanity and
fantasy
have fun doing
football.
It. Fantasy football is where it's at. Give us a showdown captain lineup that you like for tonight's.
And by the way, that's why fantasy football is so great, right? I mean, there's 100%. A lot of heavy investment in this game because of fantasy. You might not be starting a lot of these guys, but certainly you're following your guys closely. I'm sure everybody out there has at least some exposure. And if you don't, play some DFS. As you mentioned, showdown captain at DraftKings, the optimal lineup is Melvin Gordon in the captain seat. Now this assumes Philip Lindsay is out, which is the expectation, so there should be a lot of volume, a lot of running opportunities against the Jets. Brett Rippon, who's starting a quarterback in the flex, not going to cost you a ton, so I like that a lot. Jamison Crowder, Jerry Jeudy, and KJ Hamler, and LaMichael Perine is a little bit of a pun. He's only 1,800. He played more last week. He's in his third NFL game, you know, so I don't know. You just need one big play and that'll pay off.
I'm actually surprised that you would take LaMichael Perine over the other running back that I feel like is one of your all-time favorites on that Jets team.
Yeah.
And Kalen Ballage, but I understand it. I get it. No big deal.
Yeah.
No big deal.
No,
guys.
No comment. I've said too many mean things about Ballage during his Miami days, but you know, it's funny. He gets out of Miami and out of that Gase offense, and he goes to the New York with the Gase offense, but at least Gase gave him an opportunity again in the NFL. I guess there's that.
There's that there. All right, thank you so much. I love being able to do this with you guys every week. Make sure you continue to check out the weekly DFS podcast. Follow Al on Twitter, at Al Zeidenfeld. Is that correct?
That is 100% correct.
Al, Zeidenfeld, Foxtrot Echo Lima Delta.
Nailed it.
And follow Mike on Twitter, at Mike Clay NFL.
That's me.
And I am at Daniel Dopp. We have a ton of fun being able to do this. Send us your lineups. I love being able to look and see who you guys have. Also, if you join and, like, you know, you took some advice and you liked what you heard and you have a really big week, like, shoot us a screenshot. I would love to see how you guys are paying off some of the things that we have with you. So, like, please send it along to us. Make sure you join our free weekly contest, $200 in prizes. And I think that's it. Do we have anything else to say?
That's all I got. Good luck. Win some cash this week. Like you said, let us know how you did, and enjoy the games. And by the way, quick season long note, can we just throw this on the end in case people don't listen to the other podcast?
Sure.
For the Titans and Steelers, it's basically their bye week. Just assume the schedule's changed. It's their bye week. You can't start them. You can't put them in your IR slot. They're just off. Take them at. They're just not playing. Put them on your bench this week. And I think that's helpful, right? Like
100%.
Later in the season, there's going to be a lot of teams on a bye, right? And you're going to have to deal with that with your Steelers and Titans being out. Like if you have Henry and Juju and other teams. Now you get the bye week essentially in week four. You only have to deal with those two teams being out, and you have more flexibility later in the season. So stop. You know, there's just a lot of complaining out there. I don't like to see it. You know, there's bigger issues.
There are.
You know, on a personal level with these players and their families dealing with this. And I'm a little, you know, we could cut this whole part out, but just a little frustration seeing all the complaints that I can't deal with this. I need to put these guys on IR. How am I going to fix my fantasy team? It's not important, right?
Not important.
It's a game. Fix your lineups and
if you're an AJ Brown manager, I was likely getting ready to not have him this week, and now I get to not have him, except he's not missing a game. It's just like his bye week now. So right. Like I'm potentially going to get an extra game from AJ Brown this week.
Exactly. And again, it's just fantasy football, right? We love it.
100%.
It's for fun. Let's not be complaining about something that is a lot more important than a game. So anyway, just a little rant there to finish off the show.
I love it. Usually Matthew does the rants, but Mike Clay's rants are like so polite and, you know. It's like, guys, please just love each other some more and maybe be less mean about stuff.
You're rubbing off on me. See?
I know. I'm so glad. All right. For Al, for Mike, my name is Daniel. And as I say this at the end of every week, there's a podcast and a thing that I watch called Critical Role, which is basically just like a Dungeons & Dragons campaign that they air online. Matt Mercer, who's the guy that says this every week. So I want to be very clear. This is not my saying, but at the end of every Critical Role, they say, don't forget to love each other. I feel like there's so much going on right now where we all just want to make sure that we are doing that with each other and sharing as much love and compassion and empathy as we can. So have a ton of fun this week. Enjoy fantasy football and don't forget to love each other.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.